الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه صدق الله العظيم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم made this dua. I will make the dua again. We will say Ameen to the dua. He said, O Allah, that which is the truth, allow us to see it as the truth. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا. O Allah, that which is the truth, allow us to see it as the truth. وَرْزُقْنَا اتِّبَاعَ. And then make the following of the truth like our sustenance. Sustenance, whether you like it or not, you have to eat it. It will come some way or the other. Before you die, you'll get your sustenance. What a unique dua. He said, O Allah, make the following of the truth my sustenance. That before I die, I must find the true path. Then he said, وَأَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلَ. That, O Allah, what is a lie? Batil means the fake. In this world we all say, I am master, I can pick up. See, this is counterfeit, it's a fake. The small child will say, this phone is not genuine, it's a fake. A man has a nature to pick up fake. But we enter an era, which Allah's Nabi said, when you are coming close to the end, lies will become so beautiful that the one who doesn't believe it will be regarded as the funny person. We entered into the era of lies. وَأَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلَ. When that lie comes out, O Allah, allow me to see it as a lie. وَارْزُقْنَا اجْتِنَابَ. And then make it part of my sustenance, I pull away from it. What points I will mention now is, as we going forward, many a person asks, what was COVID? Or what is COVID? So COVID is not just death. The beginning part of COVID is the death of bodies, a physical death. And then the world will see COVID will disappear. But the result of COVID will be spiritual death. We will see an era opening in front of us now, which will work so fast. Technology will boom. Normally when you say the country is collapsing, you don't have hopes that tomorrow things are going to happen. You will see the presidents of the world in the next few months or in the next year making big announcements. You will wonder, where did all this take place? They will say, we already got 20 projects coming up. In this country a new city is coming. In that country a new city. Where you would have thought the entire system of the world will collapse. Let us come out of COVID, you will see a new world. You will see technology booming. You might see the cars becoming aeroplanes. Whatever you understood today of technology, which 10 years before you could not believe, you must understand we are going to make a jump now. A jump that you cannot imagine. But when that jump takes place, that will be an era where lies will come so stark in front that for a man to say this is a lie will be very hard. The points I will mention is that let us prepare ourselves for going forward. Because a man who's prepared for an attack, he got a greater chance to avoid the attack than the man who goes, gets attacked and says, no one said to me. There is one thing called knowing, and there is one thing called waiting. One is called knowing, one is called waiting. What's the difference between the two? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many years before he was born, in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam, the Bani Israel, what we call today the Jews, the Christians, the people of the Bani Israel, they were people of a deen. They saw their masjid in Al-Aqsa destroyed.
It was finished. It was called the golden era. Then they read in their scriptures that now our Savior will come in the land of the Arabs. They knew it. So they all made their journey towards Arabia. In their scriptures they said in the place where there's a lot of date palms. So on the way, wherever they found towns which had a lot of date palms, they said, this is the place. He's coming here. He's coming here. One group landed at what we call today Medina Munawwara. They were there. When you ask, why were they there? You will say they were waiting for the coming Nabi. That's why they made a hijrat. Allah Tabarakala says, فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ. But then time passed. Years passed. As time passed, they became comfortable. They became businessmen. The land of Arabia became their source of income. Now they in Arabia, they were known as the people of the book. Allah Tabarakala says, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They recognize the Nabi of Allah like how you recognize your children. They knew it him. But we all know when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Medina Munawwara, they did not accept. Different excuses they would give. They would say, we wanted him to be from our people, he's from the Arabs. They knew he's from the Arabs. That's why they went to the land. What prevented them accepting? It is called when you become comfortable. You are not ready for a change. Me and you, from the time we grew up, we heard of the word the Mahdi. We speak of the Mahdi. We enjoy the talks of the Mahdi. We say, wow. But are we waiting for the Mahdi? Waiting means, are we preparing? Because if the thing has to happen, why could not the Jew accept Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because they knew accepting him meant a change. The beautiful fort I got, I will have to come out. The position I got, I'll have to drop. The luxury I got will no longer remain. Years had passed where they never saw death. They were always scared of death. Now they knew the Nabi has come. The coming of a Nabi also means war. And in war means the possibility of death. They were not ready. As for the Arabs, they were fighting. One was called Aus, one was called Khazraj. These two tribes were fighting for so many years that for them to go into the battle was part of their life. What I mean by this is there are people in the world, whether it's in Syria, whether it's in Iraq, whether it's in Palestine, when we hear their conditions, we all cry and we all say shame. But if the Mahdi has to come, they will find it very easy to follow him. Me and you will have a problem. Because we are comfortable. They are not comfortable. For them to leave one tent to go into another tent will be normal. For me, there will be no leaving tent. When Allah's Nabi entered, and he stopped in Quba for a few days. Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha, she becomes his wife, the mother of the believers. She says, my uncle, whenever he entered the house, he used to hug me. On that day, he and my father went out to Quba, about 3 miles out. Then they came back after about Asr, Maghrib, when the sun was setting. They were both angry. Said, my uncle walked past me, he never even looked. I realize something is not right. Who will become like that? A man who is not prepared. Says they opened the books. My uncle was a man of the book. Turned pages. I heard my father asking him, what? Is it him? Is it him? Says my uncle looked up. He said, it is him. Look at that. It is him. Immediately, if it's him, it's in your book. Says, what will we do? What he meant, what will we do? He meant, if it is him, it means it's the end of us. But it wasn't the end. They could have joined and they would have got the golden era. But sometimes people are not happy for the golden era because it means my gold will have to come to an end. Me and you, we always speak of the revolution of Islam. But we all know the revolution of Islam might also mean my business might have to suffer a little. It might mean that I might have to tell my son, tomorrow I am going out, maybe I won't see you again. A lot of people cried during this COVID. But for a believer, in every cloud there's a silver lining. What was the silver lining of this COVID? It was to teach me and you, are we ready for change? In this COVID, some businesses collapsed. Some people really suffered. Death and the fear of death entered every house. But remember, when the Mahdi will stand, businesses are going to collapse. And houses will be broken. And there will be a need for change. This at least gave us a chance to see, are we ready for change? The man in the tent in another country, if you tell him tomorrow you have to move tents, he will move the next day. Why? Because when you're not very gripped in the ground, it's easy to uproot. Me and you, think about it. Have I become so gripped, that the fear of death during these days made me do certain things, that when this cloud will lift, I myself will cry? Ask that man who his mother or father passed away, and he wanted to really go into the room and say, Daddy, how are you? But he had a fear, if I enter the room, I'll die. That father might have passed away, but the person who never entered the room, he will live dead forever after this. He will live dead. He'll never be happy. It will always worry him. You could have learned one lesson from COVID. Walking towards death or the fear of death doesn't always mean you'll die. Walking towards death or the fear of death does not always mean you're going to die. Example, Ibrahim alayhi salam said to Ismail alayhi salam, we all heard it, Qurbani time. He said, my son, I saw in a dream, I'm slaughtering you. The son said, oh my father, if that's the command, then do as you have been commanded. It would have been so easy for Ibrahim alayhi salam to walk with his son. The son knew nothing. As the son is walking oblivious, Ibrahim alayhi salam took out a knife and slit. That would have been the easiest. But you tell your son, tomorrow I'm going to kill you. How you think that boy at night will sleep? But Ismail alayhi salam slept. How you think the next day that boy will walk? He walked. He came to the spot, he said, oh my father, here. He taught the world a lesson. That walking towards death, you must be ready for it sometimes, if it ever becomes the command of Allah. But another lesson he taught. Ibrahim alayhi salam took the knife. So one was the dream of a Nabi is wahi, you're going to die. One was the knife, it is sharp. One was the strong arm of a Nabi. One is the delicate skin of the other, Ismail alayhi salam. But when that knife was put there, he never died. Rather, he lived on till today. Ismail alayhi salam's name is taken and will be taken till the ending. He walked towards death. He looked death in the eye and he gave the world a message. Walking towards death doesn't mean you will die. But I promise you, if you die, you will get life. And if you live, you will live forever also. He lived and his name lived. And if he died, he would have still be living. When the time of the battle will come, in the time of Medina Munawwara, when the call was made, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the Ansar, and he said to them, you all pledged allegiance to me, that if ever Medina Munawwara is attacked, you all will protect me like how you all protect your wives and your children. He says, but now the enemy is out. They are not in Medina. I brought you all out to Badr. Badr is not in Medina. If anyone made a journey to Badr, Badr is far. They went for one caravan. To attack the caravan was easy. They found an army which they were not expecting. Now you got death in front. 313 against 1,000. 313 without any equipment against 1,000 with equipment. They never came for the battle, they came for a caravan. The other one came for the battle. It is called looking death in the face. He made mashwara and he said, you all promised to look after me in Medina. You all never promised for this. So it's not going to be right, I forced you all into something. They taught the world a lesson. Walking towards death doesn't mean death. They stood up and they said, oh Allah's Nabi, if the command comes to take our horses into water, water is death. We will go. But me and you speak about Badr. Badr was they walked towards death, but Islam became alive. They became alive. The few who passed away, they lived forever. And those who lived, they also living forever. But they walked towards. Battles one after the other began. A group of hypocrites began saying, لَوْ كَانُوا عِنْدَنَا مَا مَاتُوا وَمَا قُتِلُوا. Whenever the news would come, he went for the battle and he passed away. So the hypocrites, who was the hypocrite, the one not ready for change? They said, had they not gone out, like how the father will say, I told him don't go. Said, had they not gone out, they would not have died. That is the biggest lie. Had the man not gone out, if death was written, he would still die. During these days, one message we learned where we all got the wrong sabak. Walking towards death does not always mean death. Number two, when you die, you were supposed to die. When you die, you were supposed to die. Nothing will ever kill man before his time. Yes, at that moment where you die, will be either what a place to die or what a bad place to die. Me and you will say, I want to die at home because my family is around. I'll get that last glass of water. I'll tell my wife goodbye to you. I'll see my sister and I'll say, I won't see you again. I'll see my brother who I fought with for so many years. I'll say, make maaf, and then I'll die. But to die in the battlefield, everyone is scared. Preparation for the coming of the Mahdi, number one, is to remember no one will ever die except at the time when he's supposed to die. At that moment, they said, had they gone out, they would not have died. Almighty Allah answered on behalf of all. He said, say to them, لَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ. Even if you were in your houses, for those people who death was written, death would pull them out of their houses till the spot where they have to die. Then Allah Tabarakallah says, وَلَئِمْ مُتْتُمْ أَوْ قُتِلْتُمْ. Whether you die a normal death, or you are killed for Allah, everyone is coming back to Allah. Both will die. The martyr will die. You know what's the death of a martyr? One mujahid standing next to his friend. A bullet hit him. So he's gone. The friend saw death. It's not an easy thing to see. That night he sees his friend in the dream who passed away. He says to him, how did death come to you? Because death, if you ever saw someone passing, he's on the bed, it's not a nice sight. Go and see death. And then you will start desiring the death of a martyr. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu would say, not a battle I went out for to win the battle. Every battle I went searching for death. Look at that, walking towards death never meant death. Said every battle I went out searching for death. Why? The mujahid asked his friend who passed away, how was death? The death me and you go through on a bed is not easy. You start breathing heavy. The soul starts getting extracted. As the soul is pulled, it separates from part, part, part. Every part of the body, it comes out, that part goes into pain. There's a pull everywhere. Someone will ask, then why is that man not screaming in pain? Ulama wrote, before passing away, the pain becomes so severe that the body does not have the strength to make a sound also. It just goes into a... At that time, to make it easy, Almighty Allah shows scenes of Jannah. Looking at those scenes, that body manages, but that soul is being pulled. And then you get the death of a martyr. He asked his friend, how was death? His friend said to him, I was next to you. I put my face up to see the enemy. I felt a prick. That was a big bullet that hit him. He said, I felt a prick, and then I found myself in the sky. I was in the sky, which comes in narrations that the pain that a martyr will feel before death is like the bite of the ant. He said, I felt a prick, I was in the sky. The man who goes out to die for Allah, he will not even go through the pangs of death. This thing supposed to teach me and you, it's called being prepared for a change. The Jews were not ready for a change. They knew of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They recognized him. They found him. They were not ready to accept him. Me and you are going to see a lot of things happening very quickly. As we go further, the world will change into a world of either enjoyment or difficulty. We will find so much of enjoyment. It will be on your phone. It will be real. It will be more real. You will be able to enter cities which are called the cities of the future, in which your every thought will be recorded. Your every desire will be presented. I saw a glimpse of it when I went to one place. They called it the city of the future. At that time there was still no COVID. COVID came to bring it. We might see it. Where you'll see a robot coming in front of you. It will manage to read your mind. In your mind what you're desiring. What we heard of Jannah, that for you is what you desire. The robot will read your mind. Your desire in your mind will be prepared for you. A paradise on earth will be given, but for who? For the one who's ready to lose his paradise there. We are entering into the final of the match. When you come to the ending, we say you made it to the last round. When you miss the last round, the final is not going to be an easy match. We have reached the ending. You cannot expect the ending to be easy. But Almighty Allah got a unique system. He only makes that person reach the ending who's also strong. The people of Iman at the moment, the revolution that's taking place in the Muslim world, where we know Western news, there is something called also Islamic news, where their news is the same lie every day, there's another story also happening in other places. This is the first time in the last 100 years that we are finding Muslim countries like Turkey, like Qatar, they are standing up against Western countries and saying, get lost. A few days ago, the president of Turkey made this announcement. He says, in the past, whenever they could not force us to do what they wanted, through their might, their military, then they would collapse our economy. Our interest would just rise. He says, now that Turkey has no debt to the world, that we have paid off the entire debt, he says, now they will not manage to make us bow to them anymore. That's a very big statement there. He said, now we are entering into the fore. The world is changing. There's a revolution of Islam taking place. But there's a revolution in the kufr world also taking place. Where a camp of Iman is being created, a camp of kufr is being created. As the two will move, and it will move very fast. If you're looking for your camp, you'll find your camp. If we are not prepared for change, then the robot that offers me and you my every enjoyment, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the thing I fear the most for my ummah, he said, a shirk. Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, shirk, your ummah will make shirk. Well, they worship besides Allah idols. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, my ummah will now no longer worship the sun. They will not worship the moon. They will not worship idols. But they will show off their actions. He said, that shirk I'm worried about. We enter the time today that I show off everything and you show off everything. What that phone of ours, what is called Facebook, and it's going to get worse. Every boy, every girl, old auntie also who no one wants to know, she wants to be known to all. Everyone must have followers. And every day he looks to see how many followers I got. That is called shirk. Think about it. When he said they will show off their actions, I don't think anyone in the world has shown off like how me and you show off. We show off if we go for Umrah. We show off if we go for Hajj. We show off even if we have biryani. There I'll take a picture of it and it will go on my status. Have you seen that status changing every day? That status every day is changing, is saying, I want you to know I'm around. When we were in madrasa at that time, nowadays the phone, in that time there was no phone. When a boy wanted to be noticed, and he wasn't the good boy in madrasa. So that you get the good, then you get the normal boy. The normal boy, nobody knows him. He comes and he goes. And then you get that naughty one. He wants to be noticed. So if he doesn't get his attention, in the toilet he writes his name. In the toilet. So we used to tell the students, amazing you are, that you want me to think of you when I'm sitting in the toilet. What a place. But why? To be noticed. The thing to be noticed. My status. Even if the man is not in Mauritius, he'll put a picture there. I'm here. The thing to be noticed. Is it going to end? It's not going to end. But why was it mentioned, the thing I fear the most? Is because as you carry on in this path, you're going away from the camp you're supposed to be walking to. And he said the second thing, ash-shahwatul khafiyya, hidden shahwat, hidden desire. They asked, what is this hidden desire? Khafiyya means like a small desire, very small desire. We know big desire, open desire. Open desire, a man comes, he's hungry. You'll see that saliva coming down. Now you know the guy is hungry. But hidden desire, you can't see he's hungry. They ask Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, explain this to us. What is that hidden desire? He says, a person in my ummah will start fasting. And in front of him will just come any small desire. Shahwatum min shahawati. One small thing. And he will look at it and he will say, break the roza, break the fast. What it meant is you will find an era where you will not have the ability to control yourself at all. Even a small kebab comes in front, the man will say, eat it. Now we will say, no, I won't do it. That was going to mean fasting. That man leaves the masjid. He leaves the masjid making a dua, O Allah, only you I worship. As soon as he leaves the masjid, that phone comes out. On that phone comes a pretty face. Small, a hidden desire that is. He wasn't burning, I need to get married, I need to get married. That boy is a 7-year-old boy, and he's looking at the girl's face. He can't do anything at the moment. He got a hidden desire. He lost the ability to say no. In the school today, in the university, in the workplace, what is taught to everyone? Don't ever say no. The one who cannot say no, he is not going to walk to the camp of the Mahdi. He is going to walk to the camp of evil. Because when desires will be put up, then that person has to say, I don't want it. When Dajjal will make his appearance, preparing ourselves for what's coming. We went into an era of television, movies, on the phone, on the internet. And today we reach a time where every day a new series is being made. It's not one movie anymore, it's a series. Continuations, which is preparing the mind for something. One came out recently, it's called The Messiah. Another one came out, I don't know what it's called, but maybe Lucifer or something. So one student told his sister, you can't watch this, Lucifer. Lucifer means the devil. So she said, even if it's the devil, but he's nice. Even if he's the devil, but he's nice. Now what this thing does, it prepares the mind. How it prepares the mind? If you ask someone, what is the Dajjal? The young boy and the old, they will tell you one very big, like giant, who will have one eye in the middle. So you'll ask, where you got that from? He doesn't know. He saw one cartoon when he was small. That cartoon prepared him for Dajjal, which means ugly. Dajjal, which means an eye in the middle. Dajjal, which means mean. You think about it. If that type of Dajjal comes in this town, everyone will run to the masjid. You see one man with one eye, you think you're going to go to him. That thing prepared the minds of the people. Dajjal is ugly. So what happens if Dajjal comes out but he's not ugly? What will happen then? How will he come out? Will he come hopping up and down and he says, I am the mighty beast? So a series came out in recent time, it's called The Messiah. The Messiah means that this is Isa alayhi salam, Jesus. They want to prepare the minds of the Christians who are already lost. But the minds of the Muslims who know Isa alayhi salam is also coming. But because we follow more movies and series, our mind gets ready for something. So in this Messiah, from the few people who watched and what they said, and there's many series and it will go further, but you can already understand the stunt behind it. What they show you a good man. So that's Jesus obviously. Jesus is good. He comes out at a time where the Muslims and the non-Muslims are fighting. So there's an Israeli state who no one likes. And on the other side there's an Islamic state. But because of the Messiah and because of ISIS that just passed, that word Islamic state became a very bad word. Evil. They only want to kill people. There's no justice in them. Now the series, the Messiah, prepared it. You got an Islamic state, they're also causing corruption. And you got an Israeli state, they're also just as bad. When a Muslim sees it, he says, this is good stuff. Finally, someone speaking bad of the Jew. But he doesn't understand that he's speaking bad of the Islamic state also. In between, you get Mr. Pious. This is no Mr. Pious at all. In the series, he will come to a child perhaps. One friend, he said, this is the second part or third part I watched. Then he heard the bayan. And he says, I make Tawbah, I will never watch this thing after. In that series, whichever part it was, there was a Muslim child. That Muslim child was injured because of the battle. The Messiah put his hand over that Muslim child. As the hand, miraculous hand moved, that wound of the child healed. The mother came running, Muslim mother, how can the Messiah be bad? As he put it, he said, my heart went out. I love this man. When the Dajjal will come out, he will come out. That's why Allah's Nabi ﷺ gave him a unique name. He said, Al-Masih. Masih means the Messiah. Al-Masih ud-Dajjal. The false Messiah. What does the false Messiah mean? That Isa a.s. will come, but before Isa a.s., there will be somebody else who will imitate Isa alayhi salam. When he will come out, let me give you a picture of what he will do. The Muslim world will be on an Islamic state on one side, because the Mahdi will already have established 7 years. 7 years before, the Dajjal will make his appearance. Hazrat Mahdi will change the world. He will change the world. But because change demands change, many Muslims also will be getting tired of war. And then you will find Mr. Wonderful coming out. As he will come, he will call for world peace. That this Israel must stop their nonsense. And Islamic State, you also stop your nonsense. At that time where many Christians will run behind him, Allah save us all, many Muslims will also run. Why? Because no one was prepared to say no. So if my child's leg was broken in the battle, and I heard the wonderful healer has come, whether Mr. Wonderful Healer reads his namaz properly or not makes no difference. I heard he got the miraculous hand. As he rubs that hand over the leg of the child, me and you today we're hearing about what is called those therapies that work with the mind. Those therapies which work with the body, it's called body talk. Let me enter your body. In the past someone said, let me enter your body. You'll say, are you mad or what? Today you say, please, I'll pay you, enter my body. Now that person says, I'm in your heart at the moment. I see you got this problem and that problem. Now I'm blowing one part. That man who allowed a non-Muslim to enter his heart, he allowed a non-Muslim to enter his mind just because he had some pain in the leg and he was told this is a wonderful healer. Just go sit there and relax and the healer will close his eyes and he will come into your body and he will move the pain. But when he enters that body to remove the pain, do you trust that man so much that you know perhaps he will not put one doubt somewhere in your heart and then he will come out? You will get better from the pain in the leg, but the doubt on Iman that he left will finish you up till the ending. Now at the day and the night you are worried, you are parishan, you say someone made jadu on me. You never needed someone, you paid for the jadu. You went to a man to enter into your mind. You gave him your whole mind, you say do what you want to your mind. Just because you were not ready to say, I'll manage a little pain, but I'm not going to wreck my akhirat. When the miraculous healer will come, Allah's Nabi said, when he will come like a good man. When he will come like a prophet. He will make a claim, I am the selected of God. He will come nice, he won't come like a beast. If you are not prepared for Dajjal, the day you will see him, what's in our mind, evil, you won't find evil. You will find enjoyment. At that time, the one who never learned how to say no will not be able to say no. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a father will tell his daughter and his wife, do not go to that man. Who you will tell, do not go to that man? Nowadays when the child is sick and the mother is crying, then the father says that person, they don't trust him. But for the health of that child, that mother quietly at night will go out to that man. When the evil Dajjal will come, there will be girls, there will be boys, there will be women, there will be men, who will find such miracles happening at his camp, that at that time they will be ready to leave the camp of the Mahdi also. Allah save us all. That's preparation for after. 7 years before that, will be the beginning of the era of the Mahdi. Me and you again will say, what a top time it will be. Aliyah, the Mahdi came. Many years ago, 1980, in Makkah Mukarramah, one man stood up as the Mahdi. His name most likely was Juhayman. Whether he thought he's the Mahdi, he had a dream, he was misinformed, whatever happened, he really thought he's the Mahdi. So he understood, if I'm really the Mahdi, then my friend will make the announcement. His friend was Juhayman and whatever his name was. But Juhayman told him, you the Mahdi. So he says, if I'm the Mahdi, what must I do? He says, you don't do nothing. After Fajr by the Kaaba, I'll make an announcement. Oh people, the Mahdi has come. And then the enemies will come to you. The earth will open up. It will swallow them. The whole world will accept you. And the world is done. So it never happened because he wasn't the Mahdi. In the ending, it was called the siege of Makkah. There was a lot of bloodshed in the haram. They killed him in the ending. But one person who investigated this whole thing, what happened? I just want to explain to you one sentence he wrote. He said, during that 2 weeks, where in the Muslim world, the story of the Mahdi was moving around. It was in Pakistan. It would have been in all the different countries. And everyone was like, is it? So he says, during that time, a non-Muslim wrote this. He says, there were certain US embassies that the Muslims went into such a hard condition that they stormed that embassy. And those people in that embassy had to go like underground to get out. They broke that embassy. They broke the whole gate. He says the Muslim world went into a alam, a state. So he writes the sentence, and this is what I want you to think about. He says, I do not know what this word Mahdi is, but so much I understood that it enjoys such a place in the hearts of millions of Muslims around the world, that on the call of the word Mahdi, a person will be ready to sacrifice his life. He says, in 1980, there was nothing called WhatsApp. Yet when the news of the Mahdi spread, it made Muslims wake up in a second. He says, I wonder what will happen in an era of technology where one sentence reaches the whole world in 1 second. He says, at such a time, if the word Mahdi has to go viral, no army will manage to stand against it. When the Mahdi comes, that's what will happen. Those people who are ready will stand up immediately. They will come from all sides. There will be people. When this man stood up in the Haram that time, 1980, he was a liar. But look at the word Mahdi. The Imam, he told one police officer, arrest him, shoot at him, because they also had a gun. That police officer, who was not the most pious of police officers, he said, I can't shoot the Mahdi. And he put his gun down. They called for the military, the Saudi military that came. They said, we can't attack the Mahdi. Ulama, I had to tell them, I'm telling you, that's not the Mahdi. Only then they were ready to shoot. When the word Mahdi will come, armies around the world, even if that man doesn't look like the most pious person, he will say, in the love of the Mahdi, I'm going. Around the world. But at the same time, there will be those, what we called, how the Jews knew his coming, but they were not ready for change. That group is the group I'm worried about. And it seems me and you, because we lived in luxury. When the story of the Mahdi comes, the woman will not let the man go. For many reasons. One is, she says, if you go into the Mahdi, who's going to look after me? If you die, I'm a widow. And our woman will also say, and if you love, I know you'll take another wife there. So you're not going. The man won't go. If the man wants to go, his father-in-law will say, where are you taking my daughter? Where are you taking my grandchildren? Are you mad? If the man wants to go, the first thing he'll think about, my bank account. Will it be coming with me, or will I lose it all? I put up 3 properties. If I go, will that remain for me or not? When the time of the Hijrat came, they had to leave Makkah Mukarramah for Medina Munawwara. Almighty Allah described them, lil fuqara al muhajirin. Muhajirin means the people of Makkah. They were rich. As soon as they stepped out of Makkah, they became poor. Why? Because their house was taken. Their business was taken. They had to walk knowing whatever I'm leaving, I'll never get back. Me and you in preparation have to ask ourselves. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but it might very happen in our lifetime. I can build how much I want to build, invest how much I want to invest, but in every step I take, I must ask myself, when the call comes and people around the world will respond, it must not happen that my money or my luxury prevents me from also responding. At that time, it will be right at the end. I'm the one with the topi. I'm the one with the kurta. There are people in other lands who got no topi. They got no kurta. They don't know how to read Quran. But one difference between them and me, they're living in a tent. Because they're living in a tent, for them to respond will be easy. I'm not living in a tent. At that time, my kurta might not help me anymore. My topi might not help me. I might be so embarrassed that that man who I'm saying, very bad person, he doesn't even read namaz. That man might be saying to me, why are you not joining us? And I will say, I'm glued. It's not easy to leave. This, what I am saying is, are we prepared? Because we living at the moment like how the Jews lived in Medina in a fort. The Arabs were in front, they had no fort. Every day someone was dying. But the Jews had a fort. To come out of the fort is not easy. This few months that we went through prepared man's mind. That am I ready to step out of a fort? Our lovely house, it protects me from everything. But did it take me away from what I'm supposed to go to? Preparation. When the Mahdi will come, a few things will happen in the world at that time. One is, in the past there was that group who so many times lied about the Mahdi. So many times put up black flags. So many times said, we are the Islamic States. In the recent ISIS, there were so many of good boys. When they heard ISIS, Islamic State, they went also. And when they went, they never see a good picture at all. Normally there's a law, once bitten, twice shy. So because we saw the first one was a lie, it must not happen that another lie and another lie, and the day the true one happens, we will say it's all a lie. When that call of the Mahdi will be made, there will be a group of scholars. Because Shaitan always uses scholars. There will be a group of scholars. They did it in the past. They will do it again. They will stand up and loudly they will tell the world that there is not a single authentic narration regarding the Mahdi. They wrote it in the past. Always when there's a fear the Mahdi is coming, this group stands up. Big ulama of the past. Big names. So when a person hears it, then loudly they say, this is a story that was made up over the times. There is no such thing as the Mahdi. It's a lie. Only Isa alayhi salam is coming. At that time, in Imam Bukhari's what is called Sahih, Jami'u Sahih, Imam Muslim's what is called Muslim. Me and you all know the word Bukhari and Muslim. But many a time we also heard this statement, that a man said, it doesn't come in Bukhari. When he said, it doesn't come in Bukhari, what he meant is, it's not authentic. And so many scholars had to explain, something not coming in Bukhari doesn't mean it's not somewhere else. The man who grew up with this lie, where he carries on asking, is it in Bukhari? Is it in Bukhari? At that time, if a scholar says, go from the beginning of Bukhari till the end, from the beginning of the Quran till the end, you will not find the word Mahdi. If me and you at that moment hear it, and we already looking for an excuse that I don't want to leave my South Africa, then we'll grab onto this. And you will say, don't you see there's ikhtilaf in this matter? The scholars say there's no such thing as the Mahdi. What we grew up with, when you look for an excuse, you can grab it from anywhere. Understand it from now, the word Mahdi is not mentioned by Imam Bukhari in his kitab. But the word Rajulun, a man from my family who will stand up, is mentioned. That man is understood already, no one else is going to stand up in that manner. Who will give and give, and who will establish. And the word Mahdi is mentioned in many, many other narrations. Just not being mentioned as the name Mahdi in Bukhari will not be a reason for someone to say, I read it on my WhatsApp. Said, look at my fatwa, there's no Mahdi. And that thing which man grew up with, as soon as he found an excuse, he said, I'm not going. So one group won't go because they say, once bitten, twice shy. They say, ISIS came, it was a lie, this is also a lie. One group won't go because they'll say, Imam Bukhari got no Mahdi. I never knew this, now I'm seeing it. If there's no Bukhari Mahdi, there's no Mahdi at all. Second, one group will know everything. But the love of this world, the hatred for change, will make him just close his eyes. And he will say, I am going nowhere. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's one wording, he said, Habwan ala thalji, that even if you have to drag yourself on ice, you will have to go to the vicegerent of Allah. Even if you have to drag yourself on ice. Preparation. Now when someone asks, what preparation? Because I heard of the Mahdi. So there's two types of preparations you get. One is the preparation we all like. It's called exercise. That we all do. Tomorrow my wife will wake up, what she'll find me doing? Push-ups. She said, what you up to? He said, I'm preparing for the Mahdi. Because if I got no muscle, I can't carry that gun. Now I'm going to the gym. Wife said, how can you go to the gym? There's pretty woman there. He says, you don't worry. I'm getting ready for the Mahdi. Muscles. Muscles doesn't mean preparation. Proof of it is, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the call, there were many strong people who never accepted it. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the call, there were many weak people who accepted it. Muscles itself never make a difference. Preparation of the mind is completely different. Me and you South Africans, no matter how many muscles we will get, if we reach the army of the Mahdi, first thing they will ask, passport. Passport, they'll see South African. South African, they will mean public. Hopeless. That this muscle, one other Pathan will just come and press it, the whole muscle will disappear. There are some people whose body is like iron. We saw some of them. There was a time I was in hospital, in one place, and with me there was one man who was shot with a bullet, a very big bullet. So I was feeling the pain of the drip. They never put it in properly. And he was like sitting normal. When they pulled out that bullet from him, then you'll understand some people are like steel, and some people are not steel. Their bodies are steel, they grew up like that. Me and you, you can do your 1,000 push-ups also. Our South African muscle will never become a muscle. The preparation is the mind. Every man of the army of the Mahdi is not going to be carrying the bow and arrow or the gun. Like how you have a Muslim country, you got Turkey, you got Qatar, now you go there. When you go there, you don't expect them to tell you, okay, go fight. There's a country taking place. In the country, there's a need for someone to teach. There's a need for someone to write. There's a need for someone to cook. South Africans will be best cooks. We love eating, we love feeding. They'll say, you look after the camps. There's a lot of tents. Being part of the army of the camp doesn't need muscle. It means a mind. Are we ready for change? As long as this thought remains, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used this wording different. The meaning is change. He said, "Man lam yakhzu," that man who has never gone in battle. Me and you never went in battle because it was never allowed. There was never a need here in the country. Allah gave us an easy land. We entered into what is called Darul Aman, a city of peace. We were allowed in a non-Muslim country to live with ease. There was no need to do anything. What battle? But we never went for battle. When you don't go for battle, the fear of dying tomorrow doesn't sit in the mind. So we never have battle. Then he said, وَلَمْ يُحَدِّثْ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ. And he doesn't speak to himself about it. He will die the day he dies, عَلَى شُعْبَةٍ مِّن نِفَاق, on a branch of hypocrisy. Why? Because he won't be ready for change. Mental preparation means what? If I have a child in my house, if there's a possibility I'm going to see the error, there's a very big possibility he's going to see the error. That child, he always says, Daddy, tell me one story. The time of Red Riding Hood and Goldilocks is finished. Now I must tell him real stories. Allah's favor at now, such books have been written, which takes a man into the glorious past of Islam. It takes him into the wars of Sahaba, and that's unique wars. How do you think they took over the world? In recent times, it was called the Ottoman Empire.
the battles of the Ottomans, where and where they went, how they took over. Everything is now being written. It's no longer hard. The war of Salahuddin Ayyubi, the true story. In the past, Christians would speak of Salahuddin. They would say Saladin. But they made their own story. We have found an era where the real stories are being written. A man who wants to find it will find it. And then let that child grow up with the stories of the heroes of Islam. He has to understand before he sleeps, I have been born to die for Allah. I have been born to die for Allah. At the moment every child is, I have been born to enjoy. When he will hear this, every night when he dreams, he must dream about carrying a flag. Allah's fadl, how many children already have seen dreams that they are carrying the flag of the Mahdi? How many children saw dreams that they are carrying the flag of the Mahdi? It is the kindness of Allah, he prepares our children. But me and you can also prepare them. Before he sleeps, I have been born to die for Allah. That mind must start getting prepared. COVID took out the taste of life. Ask a man who survived COVID. He never died, but he's like dead already. You go visit him, he says, my granny died. And then that one died, and that one died. He said, I saw so many deaths. So he's now just sad. Such a person, I tell him, you should also have died. Because they're all smiling now in the grave, you crying. I would have thought you survived. Hey, I survived. You more sad than them. They are already enjoying life in the grave. You should have died with them. Then why I said this year, that I learned one thing. Death itself has never made man sad. Death itself has never made man sad. It's the perception of death that either makes a person live and die happy, or he makes him live and die sad. Perception of death means what? If I regard death to be a gift, then every day I'm happy. Because I'm looking forward to one day getting my gift. I love happy. Even if I get sick, I'll be smiling. Because I'll say at the end of the sickness, maybe I'm getting my death. And if I don't, everyone likes life, I'll still be smiling. And the day I die, I got my gift. You won't understand that. But ask that boy who's proposed. Every day he's smiling. And the day he gets his gift, he's really smiling. Because he understands it to be something. Whereas we all know sometimes after the marriage, then he's not smiling. Because then it's not always blessed. But where death comes, paradise, and paradise is paradise. Another man is scared of death. He lives scared. And the day he dies, he's still going to die the same day. He dies sad. In this COVID, some people died. Some people lived. But when you're finding them, they like dead. They sad. They scared. They say there's no taste in life. He died. You should have died also. Why you lived? He's supposed to be smiling. I got another day. But the man who regards death as a gift, if he survived it also, you'll meet him. You say, how? You say, Alhamdulillah. I got another day to make Allah happy again, but I'm also waiting for it. There was a plague in the past. As soon as the news of the plague hit, people were leaving their houses. Get out of the town. Bags were being carried. One man on top of the roof, at that time they used to sit on top of their roofs. Their roofs were like flat, and it was cooler upstairs on the roof instead of the house. Sitting on the roof, he looked at that sight. Everyone is just running wild. So what a sentence he said. He said, death, so many years I'm sitting here waiting for you. And you chasing behind these people. He said, why don't you come and take me? It must be mine and your sentence. That man who looks forward to death will love smiling and he'll die smiling. You're not going to die 1 minute earlier. Almighty Allah said, this is Jewish mentality. Allah Tabarakullah says, say to them that if you're really true in your claim that Allah loves you and you love Allah, then desire death. Allah said it to the Jew. Say to them, because the Jew was saying, we are Abna'ullah, Allah selected. He said, say to them, if you really got big talks, فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you really truthful, say, I desire death. Almighty Allah said, وَلَيْ يَتَمَنَّوهُ أَبَدًا. They will never even say it, forget insight. They had a mentality, the Jew, that if I even say I desire death, I'll die immediately. I won't say it. They couldn't even say that sentence. Me and you must not have a Jewish mentality. We must say, I am desirous of death. And I must tell my child I'm desirous. And you must be desirous. People of the past, they spoke to their children. A muhaddis of the era, his son at the age of 11 passed away. He just completed his Quran. It was in their mind that death is not the end, it's the beginning. Death is not a disgrace, it's an honor. They never just cried and cried. They cried on separation. Their eye was somewhere else. People came to meet him. Your son just finished Hifz, young and fresh, 11 years old. What are they going to ask him and tell him? I visit so many houses, you visit. It's so hard to visit a man who lost his family. Especially when they say, hey, they're taking it very hard. That word, taking it very hard, must not come from a believer. It must be when we enter the house, the people there are smiling, saying we miss him, but we are happy with the decision of Allah, because he is in a better place. I would never have managed to look after him. I would never have managed to look after him. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu says, my father passed away. A simple villager came to me. Simple villager. He said to me, that who looks after your father better, you or Allah? So he says, obviously Allah. So he said, I'm sure then you're happy that Allah is looking after him, not you. He said, what a sentence. Simple villager, it made me like laugh. That muhaddis came, they came to meet him. Your son passed away, 11 years old. He shed a tear and he smiled. That's a believer. He can cry and laugh at the same time. He shed a tear on separation. He smiled. He said, a few years ago I had seen a dream. It was a very hot day on Qiyamah. I was walking thirsty. There were so many young children in front of me. Everyone had a glass. Whoever they were giving that sherbet to drink, I was seeing like ecstasy. That person was walking without any thirst. I went up to those boys to say, give me a glass. Each boy I put my hand to, he pulled his hand away. I said, why will you not give me to drink? The boys looked up at me and said, you not our father. So I asked, what are you speaking about? He said, we are those children who passed away young. On that separation, Allah has made us wait for our parents. Istiqbal, we got the sherbet ready. He said, you're not our father. He said, from that day I had a desire that when I pass away, my son must make my istiqbal. He says, Allah fulfilled that desire today. I lost a son here and I will get him there. Who will talk like that? A man who understands that death is not the ending, it's the beginning. That I can say to my child, if I have to close his eye, that, oh my son, it was one responsibility of mine in this world, to try to keep you with iman. Now that you have gone with iman, I'm so happy I did what I had to do. But because me and you, our purpose in life is to enjoy. So if my son passed away young, I will cry, because he never enjoyed. I will say, rather let him live until he gets old. Even if there's a fear he will lose his iman, doesn't matter. If he passes away young, make the shukr of Allah that he went without exam. You'll say, you never have to see what I will have to see. You will not have to see what I. And do you think he's not going to enjoy in the grave? The grave is the mirror of paradise. This world is the sample of paradise.
A sample is different, a mirror is different, paradise is different. A sample is you go to the man selling material, and you want to show your wife that material before buying it. So you say to the man, cut me a piece. That piece that he cuts, you can't do anything with it. You can only show it to your wife. The world is a sample, it's not the real thing. It's not even a mirror. In this world you see a fruit that is not the fruit of Jannah. It is that sample of material. It is meant for you to taste and to throw. Once it touches here, it's a sample. Had Allah made it that you taste it and it stays unique, we would have started thinking this is Jannah. Allah in His kindness made it, I ate that apple as soon as it touched here. Sometimes I vomit it out. That's that very beautiful apple that was just there just now. I enjoyed that dessert, but 5 minutes later that dessert is coming in the toilet. When I flush the chain and I spray, that dessert is telling to me I was only a sample. I'm not the real thing. Get married to whoever you want. She will look the most beautiful as long as you don't have her. As soon as you get her, her sister becomes more beautiful. As soon as you get her, her sister becomes. If you think this world is paradise, then you will lose the real paradise. Sample. Your mind has to be so unique that even if your eye falls on that sister, you will say, and she's also a sample. As long as she's there, it's unique. If she comes to me, same thing. Why must I sacrifice the real thing just for the sample? The purpose of the sample was to tell you, if it's so unique now, it's going to be even better. The purpose of punishment in this world was to say, if you can't manage it here, you're not going to manage it there. You got a prick, you said, ah, it's supposed to tell you there are bigger hours coming. If you couldn't manage that cold, there is bigger days of cold coming. If you couldn't manage that fear, there are bigger days of fear coming. This is a sample. Then you enter into the world of the grave, that becomes the mirror. Allah's Nabi said, either it's a garden of now paradise, because the window will be open, now you will really be smelling paradise. Now the eye will be strong, made strong, you will be seeing into paradise. Now you will be tasting sometimes the fruits of paradise. Here you could not taste the fruit, there you will taste it in the grave. Sometimes you will get one bite, and the man will say to the angels, when is it coming? He says, just hold on. Few more days left. If your child passed away, or your father passed away, your mother passed away, your daughter passed away, where they went? We have hope that they now entered into the garden of paradise. You will be so thrilled if your child says, Daddy, I'm in Mauritius. That child is not in Mauritius, he's in the garden of Jannah. And yet that man is crying every day, say, I can't manage anymore. You say, you are crying for what? He says, my poor son. You say, not your poor son, he's rich, you poor. You should have also died with him. That man who loves dead, there's no benefit. A believer is unique, he loves smiling, and he'll die smiling. But only if death is enjoyable, it's not scary. The lesson of COVID me and you had to take, are we prepared for change? First one is death desirable for me or scary? Because if it was scary now, when the call is going to be made, it's going to be very scary. At least a man learns from his last mistake. He says, the step of yesterday must teach you your step of tomorrow. It was not the Mahdi now we had to make a decision, it was COVID. But COVID taught us a lot of things. We are gripped and we must accept we gripped. When you know you gripped, we can start pulling ourselves out little bit. Make my life such that if the call has to come, I say I'm ready to go. There was a man by the name of Fariduddin Attar. He used to sell itar. Very expensive perfume. When the time of his change came, Almighty Allah sent one man in his shop. That man was walking around but not buying anything. He was a man of business, money, money, money. So he got upset with the person, you want something, he said, I want to talk to you. He said, I got no time, I want to buy something, I want to talk to you. Think about my life and your life. We became so much money, money, money. COVID taught us that in the fear of death, people said, close my shop, close my shop. We forgot money, money. In the love of Akhirat also, we have to learn to forget money, money. He told the man, you want to buy something? He said, I want to talk to you. He became upset. He said, what you want? That man said, oh, my friend Farid, I see that there is no ether in all your bottles, because in the ether shop you got that small, small bottles. He says, I don't see ether in all your bottles. I see your soul in all those bottles. He says, when the time will come for your death, the angel will not be pulling out one soul. He will have to pull out from every single bottle your soul. So he said to the man, you worry of yourself, don't worry of me. How are you going to die? That man said, I will die very easily, let me show you. He lied down, he covered his face. And when he went to go tell him, get out of my shop, he saw he's gone. Gone. His life changed. There are some people who can go so fast. Why? Because they already wrote their wasiyat. It's already written. Oh my wife, I love you. Oh my children, I forgive you. It's already written. I was prepared to die from long time. So when your father goes, a wali of the time, Mirza, Mazhar, Jana, Jan, he passed away. So the people came, they were going through his books. As going through his books, they found it written already. He wrote there, Log kehte, ke Mirza mar gaya. People are all saying Mirza died. He says, Asal Mirza ghar gaya. He says, Mirza has only gone home. That's my home, that. He wrote it already. I'm going home. I packed my bags. I'm ready from long. Are me and you ready? Is my coffin already bought? Or do I think I'm not going to die? Am I still fighting about that old inheritance which will never come in the family? Or I have already written it off. By the time it comes, I'll be gone. Hazrat Mehndi will come by that time. So how long are we going to fight? Are we ready to pull? We got a unique ability to prepare because of this COVID. It taught us that we are corrupt. We saw it in everyone's face. You could see fear. In everyone's face, you could see worry. In everyone's face, I don't want to change. My life mustn't change. A believer is not like that. We are those people that we're walking for another world. So for me to pull out, it must be a pull out. I must be able to come out. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahimullah, after many years of living in a small house, he put up a wonderful house. By Darul Ulum Dioband. When you build your own house, you build your wuzu khana, you build your musalla, you build it as you want it. And he even had a frame made there. That frame was written that this is not yours. Yesterday somebody else was here, and tomorrow somebody else is going to be here. He even had that because like nice, I'll also put that frame. He says he never thought that he will not get even one day to stay in that house. Pakistan was formed. They made the decision, we're making hijrah to Pakistan. He went. Maybe about 15, 20 years later he came. One Hindu was staying in that house. That Hindu allowed him. He knew Mufti Shafi was the man of Dioband. He saw that Hindu had even looked after that musalla, had kept it pious man's place. He said, I looked at my wuzu khana, I looked at musalla, and then I looked at that frame. This is not yours. Yesterday someone was here, tomorrow someone's going to be here. Nothing is ours here. Nothing. We're just passing. So if you're passing, Allah's Nabi also gave a sentence. He wanted me and you. He said, what is my relationship with the world? He says, I am not but a rider. Karakibin istavalla tahta shajara. I have decided to take a few days of rest under the shade of this tree. But as soon as I get my rest, I'm going to stand up and my journey is going further. Me and you forgot we got a journey. So we took our bags and we opened it all up. I don't want to close my bags again. I want to just stay here. There's another world coming. There's another world. That child in the womb of the mother, it was only 9 months. It was so warm, so enjoyable. He kicked and he kicked.
And he said, this is a top place. He began thinking there can be nothing better than this. Only 9 months. That child made a decision, there is nothing better than this world. After 9 months, when the world told the child, come out. The doctor is telling child, come out. Mother is telling child, come out. She is pushing, doctor is pulling. That child is saying, I don't want to come out. When the child came out, first thing he said, did you ever see him coming out? And says, I was waiting for 9 months. Soon as he comes out, he cries. Cries why? He said, I never wanted to come out. And as soon as that mother tells the child, just taste what this world got to offer. She just puts him on her breast. And that child starts grabbing like. When he starts drinking, he's saying to the world, I never believed there could be something like this. He thought that the world of the womb, that dirty blood was wow. That milk which he tastes is not the tastiest of milk. That child will be told, you are still going to get sharbat and milkshake one day. This is just the beginning, not the end. But when that child made that mistake, he's supposed to now tell himself, if I was wrong once, let me not make the mistake a second time. I don't believe Allah can give me something better in the grave than I'm like the child in the womb. A time will come where the angel will say, come. And I will say, I don't want to come. I cannot make that mistake a second time. By Allah, every stage is one better than the last. I am a man on the journey towards the future. Be prepared mentally. Whatever call will happen, it will make me walk in the right camp. If mentally I am not prepared, I will search for excuses to walk to the wrong camp. Allah tabarak ta'ala save us all. This world is going to change rapidly in the next few years. Those that survived the COVID, all of them might not survive spiritually the future. Many who died today, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before passing away, he went to the martyrs of Uhud. They passed away in the second year of the Hijri, third year of the Hijri. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away in the 11th year, just after the 10th year. 7 years they missed of Medina Munawwara. 7 years they missed. He went to the graves and he spoke to them. He says, O martyrs, you were so fortunate that you went before us. You were saved from so many trials which we had to see. Those that went in COVID gone. Those that survived COVID, many of them might spiritually not survive the future. If death comes in this year, enjoy it. And if life comes in this, be prepared for a better life. If we are not prepared, then living past COVID is not the best for us. We should have rather just died. Allah's Nabi also made that dua. He said, وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ بِقَوْمٍ فِتْنَةٍ. O Allah, when you make that intention for the world of such a test where the man is going to fail, then take me rather that I don't fail. Take me away. فَتَوَفَّنِي غَيْرَ مَفْتُونَ. If I can come to you and I never have to go through that. The world is going to change. We're going to see that change. Be prepared for this change. To be able to say no. Every small desire, every pretty face, every nice drug, everything that tastes nice, I can't carry on saying, I want. Now it's time to come, the time I sit on a dastarkhan. And I don't say, mommy, give me this. But I look at the dastarkhan and I say, one thing I'm not going to eat. One thing. Not that it's haram, but just to tell my inside nafs, I'm in charge, not you anymore. So if I sit on the dastarkhan and I see, example, that dessert, and I say to myself, dessert, I am not touching you today. And see, can I manage or not? I asked one friend of mine, we sat on the dastarkhan, he was called a coke man. Coke man means when he sees coke, he's like the bull who sees red. He must have coke. So I told him, okay, today for lunch, before you prepare your mind, no coke. And as soon as he sat on the dastarkhan, he said, supper time, no coke. But not lunchtime. never will manage. There will always be next time. That next time will never come. You'll have to learn to say no. It doesn't mean no forever. No for that meal. Just to tell my nafs, I am in charge, not you. I'm going to sleep. The desire comes to see that message. I heard that eat. In the past, if I was sleeping and someone phoned, I'll pick up the phone and say, you don't know I'm sleeping. Or some people do phone. And they phone at a late time. The first question they ask is, Maaf, are you sleeping? So the answer is, even if I was, I'm not sleeping now. Because you woke me up. So why are you asking the question? But in today's time, if that message goes teet, that man jumps out of the bed. He jumps. He goes running. Why? Because he never learned how to say no. Can I at night put off my phone? Now it will stay in the cupboard until the morning. If I can't learn to say no, I will not manage one day to say no. I got a time to prepare, preparation of the mind. I am in charge, not my desire. I must say no when I need to say no. I must say yes when I need to say yes. My eye opens, I hear the adhan. I know it's Fajr and I'm tired. At that time I must say to myself, I am in charge, not you. I will show you I'll stand up even if you're tired. May Allah tabarakallah make it happen. Whether you're young, whether you're old, whether it's a girl, whether it's a boy, we got a very unique future coming in front of us. Those that survived this problem, let us survive the future also. Be prepared mentally. Muscles, no matter how much you want to make, make it. It's a good intention. But I told you, this is not the preparation. It all got to do with this mind. Allah tabarak ta'ala make us mentally, spiritually prepared, inshallah, for good days. How we made dua at the beginning, we will end on the dua. Oh Allah, what is the truth? Show us as the truth. And make it part of my sustenance that I follow the truth. Oh Allah, what is batil and lies? Allow me to see it as a lie. And make it part of my sustenance that I stay away from that batil.